The responsive reading, psalm reading, is page 842. I'm sorry, you can be seated. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with the whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts and your righteousness. Give me life.
I apologize for the confusion about Psalm 119. If you know your Bible, you recognize that one as the granddaddy of all psalms. It goes on for pages. So for two Sundays now, we've just used a small chunk of that. But let us turn to a second reading from the Hebrew Bible, one that we don't read often, but one that's important, the book of Leviticus, which tells of God's instructions to Moses. Leviticus 19, verses 1 through 2, and 9 through 18. You can find that if you pull out your pew Bible in front of you, on page 102 at the beginning there in the Hebrew Bible. Hear these words. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.' When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare and gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. And you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. And you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from the New Testament, and I don't have the page number in front of me. Page 157 in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 3:10-11 and 16-23. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 5, verses 38 through 48. You'll recall that we're sitting with Jesus and the apostles on the top of the mountain. Jesus has shared the Beatitudes and now other lessons about living with folks, and also looking back to lessons from the Hebrew Bible and how those were now a bit different with Jesus' advent. You'll find this section of Scripture on page 5 of the New Testament of your pew Bible, so please follow along. So the speaker is Jesus. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to anyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, a wise preacher doesn't jump into that one with both feet, at least not right immediately. So let me start you with a story from my life that might sound familiar to you. Perhaps you've had a similar experience at one time or another in your life. When I was in junior high school, that's what we called it in Columbus, Ohio. We didn't have middle school. We had junior high and senior high. When I was in junior high, I had a special teacher who became a role model for me and whose impact on my life is still very real to this day. Mr. Temple was our health class teacher, and he was also the cross-country coach. As in so many schools, even today, it was not unusual for teachers then to have several responsibilities, teaching as well as coaching sports. Well, teachers were somehow larger than life for kids in that time, especially for me. So I never even considered, I never even thought about the fact that a teacher might have a first name. That didn't make any sense. So this teacher was always Mr. Temple to me. Or after I joined the cross-country team, he was always Coach Temple. Well, Coach Temple was a handsome man who dressed smartly, and he drove a conservative car. He had a family, a wife and 2 little kids. And in hindsight, as I look back, I guess one reason that I liked and respected him so much was that he reminded me of my father. Now, as a teenager, I would never have admitted that I loved my father. He was my father, after all, someone over 30, an adult who certainly couldn't be trusted. But Coach Temple was different. He was cool. He taught us about nutrition and personal hygiene. And oh yeah, there was that section in the course on sex. We talked about the simple biology of our developing bodies and the act of reproduction, but we also talked about human sexuality. Coach Temple never made us feel stupid. He was warm and friendly and truly interested that we would learn from him. He had high expectations of the kids in his class and the kids on his team. As I mentioned earlier, Coach Temple was also the cross-country coach. Now, I didn't know anything about athletics, but my father wanted me to go out for the cross-country team and later for the track team. Now, I was not a jock by any stretch of the imagination, but I went out for the team anyway. I can remember our locker room was in the old field house at one end of the football field, a building that had the combined scent of smelly socks, sweaty teenagers, and Ben Gay. Kathy, do you know that smell? Yeah. On the walls of the locker room were signs that said things like, "Winners never quit and quitters never win." And another sign that was my special favorite, "Lead, follow, or get out of the way." Do you remember those signs? Well, the word athlete was never used to describe me in junior high school or today. In point of fact, I would usually come in dead last in all of our 5-kilometer cross-country races. In the longer races that I was committed to running in track, I was often lapped by the eventual winner. I tried hard, but I always came in last. But no matter how the race turned out, when I finally crossed the finish line, there would be Coach Temple standing on the course with a smile on his face, and his deep, resounding voice I would hear, "Good job, Will. Nice race. Good effort." Coach Temple was my role model. I learned a lot from him in the classroom, on the cross-country course, and in life. He had high standards, and he demanded that every one of his students and every one of his athletes did their very best. I wanted to be my best in order to please Coach Temple and to become a man of integrity just like him. Well, that story about Coach Temple came to my mind this week as I was wrestling with these scripture passages. Role models and integrity and living up to expectations. And this line from the Gospel of Matthew kept coming back in my brain, that line spoken by Jesus, "Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Wow. What do you think about that line? Did Jesus really mean it the way it sounds? Isn't it simply hyperbole, an exaggeration to make us think, an extreme statement to get our attention? I don't think so. I believe that Jesus meant it just as it sounds. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, as kids, most of us look up to someone in our world, just like I looked up to Coach Temple. How many of you had a role model as a kid? Yeah, I hope so. Kids are often drawn to role models, these days often to sports figures. Kids in the 21st century, maybe they're not watching the best of role models, but all of us, young or old or somewhere in between, all of us would do well to look up to Jesus as the role model in our lives. Each of us can learn a lot from Jesus in the Bible and in life. Jesus had very high standards, and he demands that every one of his followers do their very best in life. But just like Coach Temple, Jesus is ready to provide us with everything we need to learn in order to become a true disciple of Christ. Let me now remind you of a few of the ideas of John Wesley, the founder of the movement that would eventually become the United Methodist Church. Even before you were born, before you even knew anything about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, even then, God loved you unconditionally and absolutely, and God still does. Wesley describes this aspect of God's unconditional love of all people as prevenient grace, coming before. Prevenient grace. But then God calls you. And God keeps calling you. God is relentless in this pursuit of you and your life. Now, when you finally pay attention, when you finally admit that things aren't perfect in your life, that you have real shortcomings, and that you need God's help, God's love can then be called justifying grace. Justifying grace. God will reconfigure your life and point you in the right direction of following God's instructions. Once you admit that you have sinned, and once you repent of this sin and recommit yourself to the hard work of redirecting your own path, then God will forgive you and give you the strength of the Holy Spirit to watch over you at all times. Now, as you grow in love and spirituality, you get better and better at following God's directions for a joyful life. You're still a sinner, but you know that you are forgiven, and you keep on working on following Jesus. With God's help, and only with God's help, you move on to what Wesley called Christian perfection. He actually used that word, Christian perfection. This aspect of God's love is called sanctifying grace, because with the help of the Holy Spirit, you are better able to resist the power of sin and you become more like a true saint. With God, all things are possible. With God's sanctifying grace and a whole lot of hard work on your part, it is theoretically possible to be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And the readings from today's lectionary provide us some insight into what that looks like in real life. Think about what God said to Moses in Leviticus. He said, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel. Talk to all the Israelites and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" God reminded Moses and the chosen people of the Ten Commandments. Did that sound like the Ten Commandments to you in Leviticus? It mostly was a recitation of that. These are God's important instructions for how to live a successful life in community. A path of following God's life lessons, if you will. God told Moses about feeding the hungry and offering true justice to all people. And in the end, it boils down to the most basic and important principle. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. After every instructions that you heard me read, God reminds Moses that the reason for this lesson is always the same, because I am the Lord. God is truly our role model. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians that Melba read, he reminds the people of their direct connection to God. "So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours. Whether you are Paul or Apollos or Cephas, whether you're in the world, in life and death, or in the present or future, all belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." This human quest for heavenly perfection is then taken up by Jesus himself in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven." If you look at the language of that time, to be a child of someone or a child of something was to share in the attributes or the nature of that person. So Jesus was telling his disciples, and in turn telling each of us, that to share in the nature of God is to try to love all people as God loves all people. We are made in God's image, and we are to try to share in God's loving nature. God shows divine love for all people because Scripture tells us, "For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." All people, good, bad, and somewhere in between, all people are loved by God, and they should be loved by each of us. Each of us has been called out to become a child of God. This is a very high calling, and one that requires that you work hard and persevere throughout your life. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's sanctifying grace can make it possible for you. Jesus is your role model. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. My brothers and sisters, let us answer this holy call together. Amen.